This is Due By Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, set up an iPhone from scratch.
We got him now.
Nope.
You don't think we got him now?
How's everybody doing?
Do we or do we not got him?
Pretty good. I'm learning about Miranda Kerr.
So,
love her now.
Okay. All right. Are we doing this?
I posted. I want your take.
Did you guys see the TikTok?
No. Okay.
I posted the Washington Post TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Did you get that off Apple News?
Yeah, I think so. No, I think I'm back on Twitter, baby.
You are. You're so online. You're matrixing. I had so many screens open. I got MSNBC over here. I got Parliament over here. They're talking about whether veterinary medicine is going to be able to make it in with a no-deal Brexit. I'm having a great morning. I'm learning about stigmata, and I'm learning about wellness. I'm learning about Palo Santo. I'm having a hell of a morning. Okay, TikTok.
Wait, explain the talking that's ticking. Is this like the
it's in
youth?
It's in the doc.
In the doc.
I want you guys to know, I know Merlin's been having a tough podcast week.
No, what the devil you say? What? Why would you say something like that?
I'm trying to make Merlin's life easy this
week.
God damn it. And I'm using the Google Doc.
Thank you.
I'm using it. I put all my notes in the Google Doc.
Is that you? I knew somebody really populated this.
So I put all my stuff. This is the stuff that's normally in my own personal private note. And I put it in the Google Doc.
Oh, God.
And then at the end of the Google Doc.
TikTok
I just,
Google Doc?
TikTok Google
Give the
Doc.
Give the dog a bone?
And then at the bottom of the Google Doc here, just in case you guys need it, I pasted in the complete text of Charles Dickens' masterpiece, A Tale of Two Cities.
Oh my God, it's scrolling very slowly.
You didn't. Really? It's only, oh, fuck this.
Wow, that's a sweet-ass frontispiece. That will serve me well at sea. Thanks, buddy.
Best of times and the worst of times.
I'm gonna ruin that lady. Look at her. She's, she's sitting there.
So you can enjoy this entire free novel, courtesy of
the
Gutenberg
Project.
All right, that's going to earn you a free Richard Speck photo.
I was wondering why I couldn't open this on my iPad.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to help. I know you're having a rough week.
Is he in Mindhunter?
Yes.
Yes, and Alex is very disappointed about it.
He's too normal in it.
So I need to
got him.
Watch Mindhunter.
I retract my statement about saying I liked the first season more than the second. Second season is indeed better.
You know what I'm watching? I'm watching The Righteous Gemstones, and my God, is that show funny. It's so funny.
Running on the floor with a pickle in my mouth.
I forgive you for my suspicions of you earlier.
Running on the floor with a pickle in my mouth. What does it mean? What I made my wife watch it, having seen none of the rest of the show, and she didn't think it was as funny as I did. I watched it four times.
The younger,
he's got his clogging shoes.
The younger brother from the a cappella movies.
Yeah, the fake Jack Black.
Yes, his Satan worshiping friend is so.
Oh my God,
funny.
His like goth friend. Oh my
so
God,
funny.
He's eating the soft serve. Alex, it's a very good show. Danny McBride is.
No, I'm watching. I'm just one behind.
One where he's watching eating the soft serve and he runs into his old Satan gang is so
good.
You've seen the dance, yeah?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
The
you
soft see
Miss Behemoth. Yeah.
The crew was like,
Danny, this song is so good, and I can't find it on Spotify. He's like, I haven't made it up for the show. Oh my God, he's so good.
Okay,
there's your Richard Speck photo. That's one what you haven't seen. I don't think I've sent that one before.
All right, God, iMessage on the Mac, or is it messages on the Mac?
I don't love to know about it.
Oh,
did you get it? I don't know if it goes through. I got a lot of problems with messages. He gets a bikini brief. He gets a bikini. He's in the clink, and he gets this beautiful bikini brief and these tremendous C cups.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous. That's my next Danny McBride show.
Those
the
are not C
cups.
Follow up.
That's a B plus. If that
follow up in front.
It's a gentleman's B.
Yeah.
Follow up in front matter.
Okay, let's go.
Let's see.
We got him.
First of all, I have posted. I don't know if you guys want to talk about it or not, but the Washington Post had a really good TikTok of the whole sort of Ukraine story going all the way back to the Manafort days. I actually thought this was very informative, and for me it really like filled in the gaps of all the little weird things I didn't know. For example, did you know that the current president of Ukraine, it was before he was president, was famous for being a comedian who played the president of Ukraine on television?
Yes, and he was so good in the part that everyone knew they loved to see it. They knew he had to be the real thing. Yeah, it would be like if Martin Sheen got elected.
I think everyone should read this.
Yeah.
I read it, and it was very helpful. There was tons of stuff I didn't know that was in here, and I think maybe we'll put that in the show notes.
Well, that's the thing with what's coming. God damn it, the last 2 days, I hate this. The last 2 days have been just brutal, but super interesting. Like, it's been wild to be sitting here and watch all yesterday, everything that happened before noon my time, after months and months, no, excuse me, after years and years of holy fucking shit, people, I feel like I'm losing my goddamn mind. Are you not seeing this? And then by noon yesterday, it was like, what is happening? And then you got the Rudy stuff. You got to talk about the Rudy stuff and the bar stuff. What is happening?
Merlin, you seem really online.
I'm more online than I'd like. I'm not thrilled about it.
I've reinstalled the Twitter app as of yesterday to follow the news.
I love it, baby.
I'm fucking back.
Yeah.
And now they do have this new feature where you can swipe into your lists, which is actually...
The list swipes. I love it.
I hate to give anything to Twitter, but it is a so really good feature. It's a great feature.
It makes me want to use tons more lists. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm in the Matrix. Wow. All right. Where is... I cannot find this Washington Post thing. It's
at the first link. Follow up on Front Matter. Washington Post TikTok of Ukraine nonsense.
I can computer.
Now you click on that, and it'll take you to an article. Now an article is a post on a website.
Got it.
Yeah, but how does it work? What does it do?
You know, we should do follow up on Front Matter, but
we have so much to cover, Max. We don't have time for a lot of digressions.
So last night there was a big story where and local Chicago news or whatever. It was on like all the police scanner Twitters. And basically police were responding to a pressure cooker found
next to
a garbage can outside of the Stan's Donuts.
That was funny, Max. You were funny about that.
And Veronica and I were looking at it, and Veronica was really worried, and she goes, oh my God, are they going to get bombed? And yeah. I was like, because we've been to that Stan's Donuts. And I go, you know, I don't know how a pressure cooker works, and I'm really scared to Google it. I don't want to go on Google and be like, how does a pressure cooker work?
Oh, God, that's right.
But I'm thinking,
right,
like... So I fundamentally get the idea that you somehow you put nails in it and then
you
overload it.
You put nails and
it.
Forks in it and then it makes a bomb.
But you overload it with pressure somehow and then it explodes.
That's what pressure is, Max.
But
pressure is overloading. That's what it is.
But the thing is, like, this was pressure cooker was just left out by a garbage can, and it didn't. How are you going to like keep loading it? And so then Veronica was like, well, maybe they filled it with pressure at home and then they brought it over there.
This is a famous kind of improvised device. This is the Atlanta bomb.
And I know, but so then Veronica goes, maybe they're just going to fill it with pressure at home and then bring it outside the donut shop and leave it so it explodes.
Oh, like an explosive potluck.
And I'm like, but we use a pressure cooker all the time to make beans, and we fill it with pressure, and it doesn't explode. So why would, if you left it on a sidewalk, why would it explode? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
I think they might be voiding the warranty by not following the directions in the manual.
Oh.
But do you understand what I'm saying here? Is like, how does it explode?
It's not, they're not cooking. I can't tell if you're picking the piss. No, it's an improvised device where you could use a cell phone to cause it to explode, I think.
It has its own Wikipedia article, so that means it's real.
So the part that I understand is that
I'm not clicking that. No.
It's Wikipedia. It's fine.
I already looked up stigmata and Richard Speck's boobs today.
You don't want to look up Richard Speck and pressure cooker bomb.
Did you guys get that? Did you get the photo of him in the bikini?
Alex,
brief?
I honestly wish you wouldn't text this to me. Please.
It's pretty bad.
Oh, no. Stop, Alex. Stop. No, that's going to screw up your recommendations on YouTube. What are you doing?
And encryption and encryption.
I'm seriously very confused about this. So I understand the point where you put nails in the pressure cooker and it explodes, but I use a pressure cooker all the time and it doesn't explode. And it's not even plugged in. How are these people making it explode?
Mm.
Well, if I said how, then it's like admitting I know how to make a bomb on a podcast. So... Hmm. No.
Someone on Twitter last night, I posted this on Twitter, and someone on Twitter goes, they're putting explosives in the pressure cooker.
I mean, there are ways to get power to a pressure cooker that doesn't involve an outlet.
It's, you don't have, you guys, you don't have to power it. The pressure cooker, I don't fucking know.
Oh, really?
What am I saying?
Yeah, I don't actually
Why
know.
Am I acting like I know? No, you don't have to plug it in. You're not going to sous vide a roast. It's it's just the pressure is what is needed to create the bomb effect.
But let me ask you this. So what you're saying is, are you saying the same thing that someone on Twitter?
You're saying how even did they get the pressure if they did it at home?
Okay, so someone on Twitter yesterday said they're putting explosives in the pressure cooker and then detonating it, and somehow it being in the pressure cooker, it like supercharges it. It turbocharges the explosives. Is that the deal, Merlin?
You know what? I'm going to skip this one.
Then what I was thinking is, like, do you know the great Kumail Nanjiani bit about the cheese, the kids are doing cheese?
Mm-mm.
No.
Fucking give me the cord. Stop the podcast.
I'm trying to find the really good gif of the exploding pressure cooker where it makes a hole in the ceiling. I can't find it.
I know it's bad. I know it's powerful and bad. I just
do you?
So listen. So here's my whole sort of premise with this, because I know some people are saying, okay, so what the way the pressure cooker thing works is that the way the pressure cooker thing works is you have an existing explosive and you put it in there and it somehow supercharges it. But then it made me
think. If you already have an explosive, you don't need a pressure cooker, do you?
That's what I'm saying. And that reminded me of this wonderful classic stand-up bit from friend of the show, Kumail Nanjiani.
Big fan.
The street name for it. It's like a new drug cocktail called cheese. And I read like 4 or 5 news reports on it. They were like, there's this new drug called cheese. It's sweeping the nation. Kids in the Midwest are doing it. It's an epidemic. It's a new drug. It's an epidemic. Then I looked up what cheese is. Cheese is Tylenol PM and heroin. So really, it's heroin. It's mostly heroin. Heroin's doing the heavy lifting in this drug cocktail. It's not a new drug. It's mostly heroin. I can't put heroin on pancakes and go, I have a new drug. I call it shake cakes. Eat them every day. If you stop, you'll get the shakes. Don't forget the special shake sauce. It's maple syrup and heroin. Pour that on there. It's not a new drug, is my point. It's mostly heroin. I think the last new drug was crystal meth, which you had to make in your bathtub. And if you fucked up while you were making it, everything would explode and you would die. That's how dangerous that drug is. Just trying to make it can kill you. And you make it just from shit you get at the store. To make cheese, you still need heroin. Just do the heroin. You already have heroin. Just do the heroin.
It's so good.
I assumed that like the heroin was at least in cheese, but it's in Tylenol PM. What does
yeah?
That's just a yeah. I you know what? Hot take. I agree. Just do heroin.
But do you see what I'm saying though? Is like if you already have a bunch of explosives,
it's a bootstrap paradox.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
do
yeah,
the
exactly.
Just use the explosives. What do you have to put them in a pressure? What is the pressure cooker
just do
adding?
The heroin. Yeah.
Is it like a turbocharger?
I don't think that's a thing. I don't know, Max. Your point is very good. We'll definitely follow up. Yeah, Dr. Don. Maybe Dr. Don knows how to make it.
Oh, yeah.
What does it do, though, the pressure cooker?
All right.
So, Do Right Friday was in the New York Times.
Oh, you don't. I don't get to do my one paragraph reading series.
No, please.
We would love for you to do that.
Yes.
Everybody, of course, we're reading over this. It's not a transcript. Twitter. If they thought this was going to look good, it really doesn't look good. And this is the I got. I woke up. I picked up my phone. This is the first thing I read this morning. I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot, and Ukraine knows a lot about it. But I would like you to find out what happened with this whole situation with Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike. I guess you have one of your wealthy people. The server, they say Ukraine has it. There are a lot of things that went on the whole situation. I think you're surrounding yourself with some of the same people. I would like to have the Attorney General call you or your people, and I would like you to get to the bottom of it. As you saw yesterday, that whole nonsense ended with a very poor performance by a man named Robert Mueller, an incompetent performance. But they say a lot of it started with Ukraine. What the fuck? fuck. Whatever you do, it's very important that you do it if that's possible. I think Gandhi said that.
I understood about 15.
Oh my God, he's melting down. He's completely fucking.
What am I looking at here? Is this something Trump said today?
Yeah, this is from the whatever we're calling it that the White House released today of him talking to the president, to the actor man of Ukraine. And no, so just here's a quick translation. So basically, he's congratulations on your terrific win. Everyone, many people are saying that it was a huge win. And then he cuts right into, I'm pretty sure Hillary Clinton's email server is in Ukraine. Can you find that for us? And that's from July of the year of our fucking Lord, 2019.
But we know it wasn't in Ukraine. It was in her basement,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and also, well, what does it matter now? Or I guess there's still stuff there?
The server, they say Ukraine has it.
Okay. All right. So
apparently this is a thing he's had going for a while. Where he's, I don't know how this got into his head, but he has this idea. No, it's not an OS X. It's not like a Mac Pro in Hillary Clinton's basement. No, apparently it is a server in Ukraine. Anyways, that's just part of what we learned today. Not even getting into the Rudy shit and the fucking Barr shit. Oh my fucking God. Please contact my attorney general so we can do some of these things I want to do. Oh, okay. I don't know if we got him. I don't know if we got him, but...
Do you think I don't even barely understand this whole scandal. Do you think the American people are going to care about
it? The scandal... So my understanding of this in a nut, what led to this last super interesting week or last few weeks is that somebody in the... So when the president has contact, you know, with people, heads of state, there is usually somebody there. They rotate in and out. It's not very much, definitely not probably a White House employee, but there's somebody from the intelligence community who's sort of listening in on what's happening. And so the story is that whoever that person is heard something in this call. And it's not just the call. This is very important. But in the call alone, there was something that led to them deciding to blow the whistle, as they say. And the whistleblowing in this instance is you can't just call your boss and say, hey, I think some bad shit's going down. You have to contact the inspector general for, I think, the NI. And you say, you know, basically, I know the rules here. I'm pulling the switch because there is a credible and urgent matter involving national security that has to be dealt with. So you're hitting the big red button to go, this needs to be escalated. That inspector general then passes that along to, it needs to go to Congress. It needs to go to Adam Schiff's committee. The White House somehow sat on it or wouldn't allow it to go to Congress. Adam Schiff had a conniption fit with his tiny little head on MSNBC. And anyway, long story short, that's where this started. The most recent stuff is what you need to know today. Axios, be smart. What you need to know today is that there was an attempt to conceal the fact that there was a whistleblower report about this. And further to that, that apparently the reason that whistleblower stuff didn't go through is because it contains some pretty ill shit about Trump basically equivalent of soliciting a bribe, saying, you know, I'll give you your $400 million in aid, which Congress has already approved. I'm holding that for a week. I might give it to you later, but I need you to find out what the deal was with Hunter Biden. Because he and his crooked father are corrupt, and I'm very concerned about corruption. And then now it's all unraveling very, very quickly. The whistleblower wants to basically appear before Schiff's committee, I think, tomorrow as we record this.
Is it somehow worse than all the other stuff Trump has done?
I'll give you one note on this from a man who's been too online for the last 36 hours, and that is this. I think an important bellwether here is our friend Nancy Pelosi, who does not like to proceed. She is stonewalled on anything approaching impeachment because she didn't have the votes, right? Like, it wasn't worth it. She loves being in power. She got a lot of pressure from people in purple districts and new congresspersons, got a lot of pressure to do this. And I think here's my takeaway from this. She said as much at the Atlantic, her interview at the Atlantic arts thing yesterday. This just happened. And it's very plain to understand what happened and why it's wrong. We do not need
a 400-page report to understand what happened here. It is clear on the face of it that this is something that the public can understand. So consequently, this is something that Congress can get behind. Now, my last thing on this, and I'll shut up, you hope, is that my tickle on these things always is there's stuff we don't know that they do know. There's whispers. Like, think about the stuff with the Steele dossier, where that had gone around in circles for a while. There was a whisper campaign about that. I think there must be something to this. I don't know that I think she would so quickly push for impeachment based on what we know exactly right this moment publicly right now. Do you follow? Like, I got a feeling there's some fucking grenades rolling around. I don't know if they got him, but it's going to be a real shit show for the next few months, and I'm online for it. Your thoughts.
All right, hold on, Max. Before people get mad at you, let people get mad at me first. I don't think
Alex is just jumping in front of me and taking this bullet.
Yeah,
no.
No. I'm dead serious about this. Who care? When you say like the public can understand this, sure. It's like, okay, Ukraine, Donald Trump was trying to.
I don't have a dog in this fight, but I will try to defend that position, even though I don't have, it's not strongly held, but please continue. I don't want to come off as the guy in comments talking about we got Cheeto this time. I'm not saying that at all.
No. That's why, what is happening? Wait. Is this a bit? Okay, I'm just going to.
What's happening?
I don't know. All right. I don't.
Oh, there's some jazz.
All right. Okay.
No, that's not the song I wanted.
Okay. No, I was not very online yesterday, and I was just like, oh, guess something's happening. Oh. And then there was like a 3-hour time period where I was just extremely online, and it just felt like no one is gonna care about this, right? Why is this? Hmm. Is this just Nancy Pelosi being like, oh, see, look, we tried, so you'll elect me again because I tried, right? I tried. Because I don't understand how this is worse. I don't understand how this is going to track with people.
I don't think we as the public know that it's worse yet, but I do agree with the idea that it is easier to understand that the fact that there would be this attempt to directly go after yet another Democratic political opponent by seeking the help of another country, and people wrote down what he said in July, right? And when you say people don't care, like who won't care? His
people
supporters?
Who don't read the news. I mean, his supporters, people who...
I think finally calling it impeachment, not only does that lead to... It's not fundamentally different. There's still the six committees that are going to work on this. And now, you know, Maxine Waters is on the case, which is awesome. No, I think it's more that when you call it impeachment, you get certain powers you didn't have before, right? Mm-hmm. So Neil Katyal was talking about this yesterday. Once you call it impeachment, you don't need to impanel a grand jury to do stuff. You now have abilities to accomplish things. And the other thing, and I'm not selling this. I'm just trying to inhabit the point of view.
Oh, no, I know. Yeah.
So there's the one part, which is calling it impeachment, first of all, gives you, I think, more powers to do stuff without having to go through the approval of the executive and stuff like that, because that hadn't worked out so far. And then the other part of it is that once it's called an impeachment, I think people will, I think Johnny Lunchbucket might pay a little bit more attention. But I don't know. You might be right. And I know, see, the thing is, I know, Max, part of it, I think it's a superstition you have, as well as like as a bit, and you're so tired of being disappointed that you're like a little kid who's like, my parents are never going to get back together. Everything sucks. So, I mean, I get that point of view, but I think one also has to sort of look at like what the facts are right now. And this has a slightly different barometric pressure than a week ago, I feel like. Now bring me down. Bring me down off my cloud.
All right. Make everybody sad, please.
I'm not going to bring you down, but I think people, not you, Merlin. I think that people tend to, Democrats or whatever.
I read the same magazine articles that you do.
I wasn't going to say it, Merlin.
I think people tend to give themselves.
Everything's getting better, Max.
I think people tend to give themselves galaxy brain because you go on Twitter to read the news and you're sort of reading the news. I mean, that's why I'm Twitter, because that's where the headlines are first.
Yeah.
But what you're also kind of looking into this like hall of mirrors where everything is reflected back into itself, and then you can't tell the reality from the perception. And you're like, what should we do? Isn't this a different question from what will people think? And you know what I mean? Like, it all becomes very...
Well, we start guessing what everybody thinks and knows, or because that's all we have.
Yeah, you're like eight levels deep into the inception of like just making a simple decision. And I would say on the matter of impeachment, the way I've felt about this since the fucking guy won the election is like, it is should be obvious to everyone, including the Republicans, how history is going to look back and judge this moment. And sometimes things are – sometimes people have power because sometimes you're just supposed to do the right thing because you have power and not because it's going to get you more power. Right. I always felt that about – well, this is famously what Obama said when he was doing health care, right? You know, the economy collapsed. He gets into office. He bails out the economy, and then he spends all his political capital to do health care. And people kept saying to him, this is the wrong move because you're going to spend all your political capital.
Well, yeah, and the same thing of going like, remember what happened when Hillary did this? Remember when Hillary wanted to make the card and she wasn't even an elected person and
right.
how damaging that was? And their historical precedent is, you know, 1992.
Right, and people kept saying to Obama, you're really going to spend all your political capital to give people health care? And Obama said, what else is my political capital for? Like, I'm in this office to do this thing. Like, this is why I'm here. Like, there's no point. He's like, what's the point of having the political capital if I can't use it for the healthcare? Like, that's it. Like, I'm here to do this. Right. So let's fucking go.
I'm not just here to accumulate and maintain power. I'm here to do something.
Right. And ultimately, I think the vision got pretty fucked up because of these cowardly Democrats in the Senate who ultimately could only do like a very, very incomplete and lame sort of version of healthcare. We wound up with this compromise thing. But it was like people didn't understand. It's like we had control of all three branches of government. That's why the American people gave us the keys, is they wanted us to do this. And then you're going, but if we do it, they might take away the keys. But it's like, yeah, okay, but then we're going somewhere, right? They gave us the keys. Like, let's fucking go. Let's drive somewhere.
That's what I've been saying for 2 years is like, it feels like the message behind so much of what's happening is if we use our power, people will take it away from us.
Right. Now, now one reading of that. Anyway, just to draw the connect the dots here, like the American people voted in a new class of Congress that with a big Democratic majority, historically big Democratic majority. Like, we have the House. The House's job is to do impeachment. What the fuck are they there for if they're not going to do it? Like, it's obvious that it's leaving aside the Ukraine or the this or the that or the little back and forth. Like, obviously the guy should be impeached. Obviously he is doing just emoluments.
It's the fact that there are literally the dozen, what Nancy calls other candidates for this, that there are dozens and dozens of reasons that in any prior time it would be over.
Yeah. Just the hotels.
Just pick
just
one.
The foreign just people staying
just,
in those hotels.
Yes, exactly. Saudis at the hotel. Let's just even say Saudis at the hotels. Pick one. Just go.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, it just sucks to me, and it feels very cynical and lame that they finally got this, like, oh, we got, you know, now it's finally too much, sir, and whatever. I'm glad we're there, but my worry is like it's so calculated and fake and weird that it's like the American people, it's just going to seem like politics. Like, it's not, we've lost the moment for it to be this genuine thing, but I don't care. Like, as long as we're doing something, we're doing it. But, I don't know. It's just also like, here's the other thing I was thinking about yesterday. I was going through the people who had already said they support impeachment, and all the candidates that, you know, Cards had worked to elect a bunch of new congressmen, and I have worked even beyond that on a bunch of campaigns, and all the people that Cards supported who got elected and all the people that I work for that got elected were the first people on the lines for impeachment, right? So...
thanks, Sean.
All the Illinois delegation, Sean Casson, Chuy Garcia, Lauren Underwood, all the first ones up to say, yes, let's fucking go. Let's do this thing. Maybe my takeaway for me is like, I felt a little satisfied by that. Cause I was like, you know what? 2 years ago or whatever, I was like outside freezing my ass off, holding the clipboard, knocking on doors and doing all this work. And then now today I'm reading in the newspaper that like that insurgent candidate that where we flipped a seat, now we're actually getting to the place where I want to go. And it was a nice, it was a good feeling. And so I would say, like, again, this is only my personal take, and people can take it or leave it for what it is. But my personal take is like, if you're scared or frustrated or it seems like things are out of control and it feels really bad, like I think you're a very, very, very limited use sort of talking about it in Twitter and sort of like staring into this hall of mirrors all day. Mm-hmm. And I think you will feel much more in control of your own destiny and actually tangibly make a difference in like a world historical difference in the course of world history if you just go work on a campaign. You'll meet cool people. You'll get to get your hands dirty. You'll spend your energy doing something.
As long as you're still getting real data and not just relying on partisan reports.
Just go.
Just go to the Secretary of State site.
Just go do something. Like you, it will feel so much better. You'll feel so much better.
Sometimes the people. I don't mean to call you a romantic because I don't. I mean it in like a more old school, like classic sense of the word. But day to day in our day to day, it's sometimes the people whose hearts have been most profoundly broken in the past who become the most cynical. And I think, and I'm not saying this is you, but I'm kind of saying it's you. when your heart's been broken, like super hard about something that you really loved or cared about, or that was a tent pole in your understanding of the world, when your heart's been broken that hard, and maybe even arguably that many times, it makes you skeptical, and it makes you put up shields for that. And I'm like that. I think we're all like that, especially if you listen to Chapo. You become really broken inside. But at the same time, it does pay to be always open to the idea that things aren't what you think or aren't what they seem or are at odds with your own conception of it. So at this point, you're right. Work on a campaign for sure. That's fantastic advice that not many people can super do all the time. But even if you're just an observer, I don't know. I think it's going to be, you know what it is, man? It's the fucking velocity. It's the velocity of these last 2 days that tells me something is up. You don't get that a little bit?
I don't know.
You're very online as of today, Max.
I think I am back online. I'm trying to.
What is it you're trying to avoid? Or what is it? I get the sense that you're trying to not do something.
I'm trying to understand politics. I'm trying to like have a conception of politics face value understanding. So what I mean is like I'm trying not to have some sort of four-dimensional chess of, this is that way because this person knows this. I'm trying not to have that.
Right. When you get it now, then like you're not that far from just being liberal Q when you start doing
that. I'm trying to avoid that temptation. And I would say I think that part – because I feel the pull to do that. And I got really into that with the Epstein stuff too. And I think part of the temptation to be like, well, this is connected to that because this person knows that. And then they're going to do this. And then the American people will believe this. And then that will set them up to do this. And then it's all part of the master plan. I think it's this. It is a very scary and bad feeling to have this feeling of nobody's in control and the world is spiraling out of control. And having this feeling of someone out there, Pelosi or the Democrats or whatever, Bernie or whoever you believe in, whatever, someone's out there playing four-dimensional chess. And if we can just get in front of the pieces, you're all part of the master plan. Like, I think that's a sort of comforting in these times where I think the reality is it's much closer to like Veep and everything is just vanity and ego and contingency and it's all just randomness and no one's really in charge. And I'm just trying to...
And that each person is just looking out for what's going to keep them alive in the short to medium term.
Correct. That there's no sort of grand conspiracy. And I'm just trying to hold on to instead of trying to get my feet on the ground on some sort of complicated eighth dimensional master plan, I'm just trying to stick to like a simple moral truth of like nobody should like die because they can't pay for medicine. Like, that's a very helpful place. Like, if I could just say that 10 times to myself and, like, and I know people have a lot of, well, what about this case where someone should die because they can't afford their medicine? Yeah, okay, but also.
Wait, really? What?
You don't see that on Twitter where,
people.
If I go on Twitter right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you need a liver transplant because you drank too much and it's not my job to pay for it.
Okay,
if I went on Twitter right now and said nobody should die because they can't pay for their medicine.
What about Richard Speck?
Do you know how many fucking eggheads and contrarians and devil's advocates?
Yes, but those aren't, by talking about the moral imperative, you're those people are trolls. They're monsters, and okay, they shouldn't
be. That's, but a lot of people
who are
quote-unquote experts on politics, their whole thing is, well, actually, I'm doing 12-dimensional chess, and you can't mm-hmm. even say that because of these this and that thing. And I'm like, okay, but also I just believe that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just believe it.
No, you're not wrong. Okay.
I have never been
more sure about anything I've said on this podcast.
There's someone listening to this right now who's going, actually, Alex is wrong. Someone should be dying because they made some bad call. Who knows? But mm-hmm. I know it's right. And, like, in the same way, it's like, I know I'm following. I know there's that, okay, well, Pelosi's looking at the polls and the numbers tip that way and she knows about the public opinion and it's this and that. And, like, but also, like, there's just the more simple thing of, like, the guy, he's violated the Constitution. He's violated his oath of office so many times.
The sickest part is we're going to look back, and when the books come out, it's going to be so embarrassing how dumb it all was. And Josh Marshall is going to have been right. Like it's always the stupidest, most venal, most grifty explanation.
But it doesn't need to be this whole calculus where now Pelosi can finally move because the pieces are on the chessboard are just in order. It's like, just fucking do the impeachment. Just go. Just do it. That's what you're there for. And even if you lose and he's not impeached, at least you tried to do the right thing. And that sometimes that's just what you do as a person. It's not always because you know you're going to win. That's not being a leader. You don't always go to battle mm-hmm. just because you know you're going to win. Sometimes you just have to do it because it's the right thing to do. It just frustrates me. Like, the Democrats, they're so cucked. They're like, we can't even do the right thing because what if we lose?
Yeah.
It sucks. You're right, Merlin. Like, it's like, how many times have you gotten your heart broken where it's like, well, we might lose, so we can't try to do the right thing. Oh, cool. I love to be on that team. We're not going to put our uniforms on and play because we might lose. Cool. What a fun team to be a fan of.
Yeah, and then we'll have to wash the uniforms anyway. Like, you go back to like what everybody says. Like, if you're wondering why nothing happens with gun control or, you know, common sense gun control, like after Sandy Hook, how could we get through, you know, I'm going to pivot in a second, but people say like after Sandy Hook, like how could we go on living the way we lived after Sandy Hook? And now that's in the rearview mirror. And like, there's just another Walmart shooting that, you know, a lot of people will say like, if we couldn't fix it, then we'll never be able to fix it. And I think for everybody's got their own example of that with this administration. And some of us have 16 examples of that. So you take something like Charlottesville, where it's like, it's just, boy, just a real easy dunk to say, yeah, the Nazis are bad. But instead you get the both sides-ism, and then that becomes part of the vernacular. And now we're just used to that. And now that's just a normal thing. That's the kind of heartbreak I'm talking about. It's like, oh man, it's sort of like, I said something about this the other night, and I don't know, if probably pissed some people off, but like, I was saying that sometimes my party feels like the parents who let their kids keep sleeping over with Michael Jackson, where, you know, your first job is to protect in some ways. Like, somebody, you know, the reason we have this particular form of governance is that we don't want to all have to be our own congressperson every day. It's a kind of democracy where we elect people to take care of these things. And it's like, you're being a terrible parent. You're not protecting your family. Like, when you refuse to run down the facts behind some of this obvious bullshit because you're scared you might lose power, you're being I'm sorry to put it this way, but I don't know a better example. You're being a really bad parent. You're not protecting your kid. You're letting your kid get diddled by Michael Jackson over and over and over because it would be impolitic for you to say, please stop diddling my kid. Oh, and by the way, they can't sleep over anymore. But it's movie night. Okay, just tonight. And it's like, except in this case, the country is getting diddled. And I don't know, maybe you're like a stage dad and you're hoping it'll turn into some kind of dancing with the molesters. I don't know, but it's heartbreaking that somebody who knows better can go like, I'm going to weigh this, and I think I can wait this out. I think I can wait this out. And that's hard to watch.
Just the gun control debate is another interesting example of this, of like, Democrats are a little too scared to sort of try anything like bold on gun control because they're worried, oh, what if people get mad at us or whatever? What if we lose? And they will lose because they don't have the votes. But like I like gun control, like there's a lot of very like sort of the like low hanging fruit gun control stuff that's like wildly popular, right? Like an assault rifle ban is just like overwhelmingly popular in this country.
Especially while the NRA is the fucking Wizard of Oz. They're a little man behind a curtain right now, and we're still as scared of them as we were in the '90s. It's insane.
But here's to me the more like just the more simple, straightforward way to think about it, in my opinion, is like they should try to do gun control. And even if they fail, like it will paint a picture for the American public of who's on what side. Like, let's just make it clear who's on what side and what do you get if you vote for Democrats. If you vote for Democrats, they will try to do this wildly popular gun control legislation. And even if we lose, in the long run, it's showing what we're about. Do you know how many times Republicans voted to repeal Obamacare?
No. The literal number? No.
How many times did...
Like at least three, right?
Republicans vote to repeal Obamacare. Unsuccessfully. They kept doing it even though they knew it wouldn't work. More than 50 times.
Oh, Jesus.
And that's from Time Magazine in 2017.
That is more than three.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the House voted to repeal Obamacare more than 50 times. And they just kept, and they knew they weren't going to do it, but they kept trying and trying and trying because they understand power. And they understand, like, telling their voters, like, this is what we're about. We're going to keep trying until we get it, even if we don't win.
Do you think Pelosi, in the history books, is going to be regarded as a coward?
I don't think if you were to say, like, this is my opinion, like the most classical, like, what does a leader do, right? They're like, they like inspire people with a vision and they're out, you know, they're skating to where the puck is going to be and not to where it is. I don't think Pelosi has really, she's not so great at that in her career.
So a footnote, I'm not trying to be a bitch and like, ah, coward, they're all bad, but I think the thing that I find exhausting is even the identity politics idiot for a second, like that stupid fuck. Oh, this is gonna make people mad. I don't care. I don't even remember what.
Don't make me send Richard Speck again. I'll do it.
You're gonna make fun of Nancy Pelosi's vocal fry.
No. remember the LGBTQ presidential forum that everybody was mad Bernie Sanders wasn't at. It was the most performative bullshit I've ever, and I watched the whole thing, and I was just like, oh my God, do you think this is the brave thing you're going to do? Is this what people are going to remember you for? Like, it's not, there's no voting, there's no nothing. And yes, I did tear up a little bit when Elizabeth Warren...
It has the significance of showing up with a spatula at a pancake breakfast.
Yeah. I mean, and at least Elizabeth Warren and Cory Booker address the issue of all the black trans women who have been murdered this year, and, you know, talking about healthcare and stuff like that, but the rest are like, yes, I support gay marriage. Welcome to 2008. Good job. Yay. And I don't know. I got a little, I think I've been triggered, Merlin. Oh my. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, it's understandable. I mean, you've got.
We got to save this episode.
Alex against gay marriage.
Merlin needs this episode to come up.
let me tell you what my job is. Here's my job. my job is to set aside all of the feelings and the self-esteem and the former sexual attractiveness that I used to have to people. I set aside my dignity. I put aside all of that because you know what I do? I want the product to be good and I want it to come out on time. Courtesy of friend of the show, Taylor Lawrence. She posts a screen grab where she says, Miranda Kerr, describing her home. You're asking yourself, who is Miranda Kerr? I don't know. I spent the morning finding out while I watch Parliament. Taylor Lawrence, who's awesome, posted this screen grab of something called Miranda Kerr talking about her home. Can I do a quick reading series on this? Because I found it very
moving.
Please.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but does this need more setup? Because I'm not sure I'm following.
I think that is the point.
That's part of the beauty of it.
I had no idea who she was.
All right. Okay, cool.
Okay, well, I'll say this. Miranda Kerr, you can go Google it. She's a mod, Australian model. She's a mom, and she's a health advocate and author. I'll bless through this real quick. So the wonderful Taylor Lorenz is screen grabbing here, I had to Google to find, is an interview, a recent, I want to say, was it July? Let me check here. May 2019 interview with Miranda Kerr called, this is newbeauty.com, Miranda Kerr on healthy living, marriage, and motherhood. And I just want to get you a couple choice tidbits I pulled here. New Beauty says, you were Goop way before there even was a Goop. It's like you were the original coconut oil puller.
Wait, who is this person? I'm sorry. I'm
Miranda
not.
Kerr.
Okay. You don't know Miranda Kerr? Yeah,
Miranda Kerr. Kerr.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're talking about Miranda Kerr?
Mm-hmm. I'm so confused.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's an advocate. She helps a lot with charities. But she's a beautiful model. And she said, it's funny because I remember giving Gwyneth the products when I had launched in 2009. Yes, she has a cosmetics line and health wellness. This is part of that Rat King of Goop things where it's like Goop-ish things where it's about lifestyle. It's about health. It's about beauty. It's about like giving skincare to your kids.
She's a model who
She was a model, but now she's a very influential thought leader on health.
So she's a model, and now she's 36, which is probably people age out of being a full-time model at some point. And so now she's sort of pivoting.
Yeah, sending to MILF Island, yeah.
So now she's sort of pivoting into like expensive.
Oh, she's don't worry, she's
influencing
pivoting.
A lifestyle. She's
pretty successful. Yeah. She's very successful, according to what I read this morning while I watched Parlor.
Her husband she loves
looks
the
like
oils.
She looks like her face. She looks fragile, like you know, like if you dropped her.
She looks like cosplay Amanda Seyfried a little bit.
Okay, there's so many things to make fun of about this woman. She looks normal and basic.
She's beautiful.
she looks like she would break
stunning.
If you dropped her.
Can I do
stunning,
my reading series?
Stunning, please.
It's
please.
Funny. I'm not going to do the accent. It's funny because I remember giving Gwyneth the products when I'd launched in 2009. At the time, she was talking about how she just started this website called Goop, and I was like, oh, that sounds right up my alley. Now our products are sold on her site, so it's really come in full circle. I know the self-tanner is flying off the shelves because she texted me recently and said, this tanning lotion is incredible. I can't believe the sales. It's crazy. And so she's going into, like, people are becoming more educated about health and wellness, and they're looking for different self-care avenues and practices. And this is the part that we're getting down here, skipping down to the part that Taylor screen grabbed. I call her Taylor. We're friends. New Beauty asks, do you both share any other wellness musts in your home? Miranda Kerr responds, we have a lot. We have the air purifier. We have the stickers you put on the back of your phone for radiation. I have the EMF detector that picks up the waves in the air. I've had the whole house checked by a professional who looks for things like EMF waves and things like that. I even had something installed in my Malibu house to turn out all the power while we sleep. It's basically a button that turns all the power off, except for the fridge and security cameras in the nighttime. So when you go to sleep, you don't have any Wi-Fi or electricity in the house at all. Almost done. New Beauty says, that's pretty serious. She says, it's like going camping. I also have an alkaline water filter so I can pick the pH of our water. There's a lot of research on that. You don't want to be going too alkaline because you do need a little stomach acid to digest your food. I typically choose somewhere around the 7.5 to 7.9 mark for the water. Then I like using Palo Santo to clear the energy in the space. And I also have little diffusers around.
What does she use?
I like to use Palo Santo to clear the energy in the space.
What is that? Isn't that a place?
Wait for it. Wait for it. And I also have little diffusers around the house with essential oils, depending on what's going on. We even mop the floors with hot water and eucalyptus oil, which is what my mother used to do. It's good for the wood, and it's antibacterial. It also smells really nice. 30. So, Palo Santo, I had to look up.
I love it. I've read it like 6 times.
Alex, do you have a sticker on your phone for radioactivity?
Oh no, no, not yet.
She married Orlando Bloom.
What?
Orlando Bloom.
In 2009, gang of thieves known as the Bling Ring broke into Bloom's home. The group stole luxury brand clothing and jewelry. In this case, the ringleader allegedly wanted Kerr's Victoria's Secret lingerie.
Like for science?
Now she's science. Married. Now she's and then they got divorced, and now she's married to the billionaire Snapchat co-founder Evan Spiegel.
Good for loves
her.
His oils.
Good for Evan.
In 2017, Kerr surrendered $8 million in jewelry, which was given to her by Malaysian financier Joe Lowe in 2014.
Financier.
To the U.S. government amid an inquiry into the One Malaysia Development Berhad scandal.
That's like the lady with the basketball coach where she had to give back all the stuff. That's a goddamn shame. It's basically a button that turns all the power off except for the fridge and security cameras in the nighttime. It's like going camping. Digga Digga Palo Santo. I had to look this one up. I'm here on sacredwoodessence.com. Mm-hmm. Palo Santo is a mystical tree that grows on the coast of South America and is related to frankincense, myrrh, and copal. In Spanish, the name literally means holy wood. It's part of the citrus family and has sweet notes of pine, mint, and lemon. It's got ceremonial benefits. Let me tell you the healing benefits of Palo Santo in case you're thinking about having it around for whatever's mm-hmm. happening. Palo Santo is traditionally used for relieving common colds, flu symptoms, stress, asthma, headaches, anxiety, depression, inflammation, emotional pain, and more.
Wow, it really can do everything.
Wow, I can't believe I haven't got that.
I feel like there's so many challenges, sitting right in front of us here, you guys.
How do we do? So how do I many. Do the Palo Santo?
Get a
do
button that turns off your electric at night for camping. Stickers for your phone. EMF consultant. How do I even find somebody to detect EMFs in my house? Ring, ring. Hi, it's me, the EMF guy. Is now good? I'm sorry, my phone's shut off. I'm sleeping.
How do you? What? How do you? I'm curious. How do you do the Palo Santo? Do you snort it?
Yeah, well, you can snort it, you can freebase it, you can put it in a pressure cooker. I think most people burn it. It's like a sage type thing.
Oh, you burn it and you smell the smoke.
Stress, asthma, headaches, anxiety, depression, inflammation, emotional pain, and more.
I'm not a medical professional, but if you have like a cold, you probably shouldn't be like huffing smoke, right?
Well, they're very clear about that here. It says relieving common cold and flu symptoms. So I think that from an FDA standpoint, I think Palo Santo has covered its mystical butt.
It's like how McDonald's, or it's like how like a, well, you can't have like an ice cream sundae, but you can have like a cold dairy beverage.
Oh, like what's it called, a slurry? What do they call it? McSlurry?
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like yeah, we're legally not allowed to call this like a.
Right. It's like the whole like now the cow people are mad because of Impossible Burgers. They say, nah, that's not a burger. A burger has to be, you know, it has to be a real burger with dead cows in it, right?
God, I've been so healthy lately. I want a burger. I want a burger so bad.
She's also the author of the book Treasure Yourself, : Power Thoughts for My Generation.
Alex, you want to get burgers?
No, I ate like literally a loaf of bread at that event yesterday. I can't.
Treasure Yourself, international supermodel Miranda Kerr offers her own view on how her generation and those following can achieve greater health and happiness. Miranda believes that one of the most powerful tools to facilitate change is positive affirmation. She's collected over 100 affirmations from some of the world's most inspirational authors.
Please tell me that they're in there.
Who?
Are there the affirmations in
David
there?
David Avocado Wolf, your main man? No, no, no. No, this is just her book on Amazon. It's available on Kindle for $4.99.
But can we read the affirmations?
Oh, geez, I don't know. Let's see.
That's what I want. I want to know what they say.
Miranda Kerr, Treasure Yourself Affirmations. Well, let's see. It's from the likes of Louise L. Hay, Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, and many more.
Many, many more.
I confuse Deepak Chopra and Dinesh D'Souza. Is that racist?
Cut that out. What? That's a trap. It's a trap.
Well, Alex, is it? Is it racist?
Did you see the take? So there was the, this is all going to be edited out. So there was the SNL, the comedian that was fired for doing the racist accents. Mm-hmm. And then one of the big takes that I saw on Twitter about that was, what do they mean an Asian accent? I don't even know. I don't know what that is. What would that, they're like, people, do you know what I'm talking about? People are like, would that even be an Asian accent? I can't even, I don't know.
I think if I did a Ching Chong Bing Bong for you right now, you would know that that is primarily an Asian accent.
I how fucking desperate and thirsty for those faves you have to be to be like, I've never heard of this Asian accent. I don't know. I don't know. I can't even conceive of, I don't get it. I don't even know.
Oh my God. That's not even a joke. Accents.
I don't know. How would you even know it was Asian or what? I don't know. I've never heard of that.
All I know is that there's people who are super into my recycling on recycling night, and every other day they have no interest in my trash. It's crazy frustrating. So what I want to say is treasure yourself and shut off that electricity because
before we get to the, we do need to get to our challenge, but I have actual, can I do some actual follow up and front matter stuff? So Do I Friday, it was in the New York Times and it was in a story Apple's usurious policies about the podcast app and how they're
usurious banking up this.
Usurious banking that is. And if you scroll, we'll put this in the show notes, but if you scroll way down on this thing, you can see Overcast. And if you zoom in, there's a little screen.
See for
Overcast.
a second.
And if you zoom way in, there's a tiny, you can.
If you jog with your with your Master MX mouse. You just jog just a little bit. Mm-hmm, you'll see it for mm-hmm. a second.
There's a tiny little Dubai Friday in there. Now, it's right next to a much larger Rec Diffs.
Rec Diffs is very,
very prominently featured in there. I thank you to the New York Times for officially endorsing, not only endorsing Dubai Friday, but everything that we've ever said on this mm-hmm, podcast.
Mm-hmm. Especially the anti-Semitism.
Primarily. I mean, that's mm-hmm. how you know. You want to get known for something. And
it's called building a brand.
Just let me know for one thing.
What else did I have here? Alex and I both participated in the Relay FM podcast-a-thon.
Yes, you very much
You took an iPad apart? What?
Congrats to them for raising a lot of money.
$260,000 is really good.
Oh, it's fucking wild.
A lot of money. Good job,
that's
guys.
So cool.
So Alex brought her smashed iPad and was just like embedding little pieces of glass in your finger.
Oh,
and it was very upsetting to watch.
Okay, hold on. It was fine.
Mm.
I still have it here. It's
in. Alex, get it fixed. Go get it fixed.
It's very expensive. But I was told by a listener that it is safety glass. No. It is not the safety glass. It's Gorilla Glass. But look, it's still working. Mm. So I plug it into a monitor.
Is that crunchy sound your iPad?
Oh, well, it's in a plastic bag, but I can take it out.
Play the future.
Yeah. All right.
I need to sleep.
Alex, get the screen fixed.
Get it fixed, Alex.
Oh, it looks
take
so
it out,
cool,
take it, how, take it out of petty cash. How much is it?
Petty cash.
Only like $1,200. Oh, no big deal.
Never mind.
Yeah.
That's not petty. Yes. What are you thinking?
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, did it come out? Yeah.
And then I was very happy that they had me on at the last second. And Alex may have. I think Alex did some social engineering on them to make me go on there. And I bumped Syracuse.
You finally arrived. Yeah, Syracuse had some connectivity problems or something.
Well, they put me on before him, and then he finally got on and he dropped the connection.
Oh damn!
And so congrats to Relay FM. And can people probably still give money? Right?
Yeah, where they all go, through Alex? September. StJude.org/relay.
There you go. And let's see what else. As always, that's a fine place to give money, but if you really want to give your money somewhere good, you should give it to us.
If you want it to
You can support, go ahead and we know you, you're listening to this Dubai Friday program. You're probably going, that's funny. Mm-hmm. They've been giving us the real truth about how annoying Nancy Pelosi's voice is and about, what are our other takes and about how we don't know what.
She wears too much makeup.
Yeah, she should smile more.
Get in the kitchen and cook my dinner. I'm Scott Adams.
Yeah, we've been talking about how Nancy Pelosi should smile more, and we've never heard. We don't know what an Asian accent is. You're probably going, how do they have these brave? How could they even say these things? Because they lose all their advertisers. Well, that's the secret. We don't have any advertisers. Okay, there's no fucking Casper Mattress who's going to get mad at us and be like, oh, we're canceling you for your problematic. We're just too twisted, you know, our takes. We're too... We're too...
When you said the Jews aren't allowed to sleep on our beds. Yeah, they hate that. They hate to see it.
Yeah, we're too... Our opinions, we're just too... we're too extreme, you know?
That's the only way. So where do people go if they want to, like, really make a difference?
Yeah, well, if you really want to do something, you'd you'd support the independent media at...
Work on a campaign or give us your fucking money.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that you have money... Mm-hmm. And we want your money. And you can go to giveusyourfuckingmoney.com and you can become a $5, give us that, you give us the $5 every month. I can't remember what the website's called. I'm having an aneurysm.
Patreon.
You go on the Patreon and you give us the $5. And then if you do that, we record a whole other episode of Dubai Friday. It's our after show.
God, we still got to do that, don't we?
Oh, God. Oh, no.
And that's when we get really sad and depressed and we really... really becomes some really upsetting navel gazing. That's when we really just read out the things out loud that we've seen on Twitter.
And really explain how Filmic Pro interacts with a gimbal. Really good.
This week we'll be covering how to build a pressure cooker. So you can get that and more at giveusyourfuckingmoney.com. And finally, we have a little chat room for the Dubai Friday community, and it is a really wonderful and positive place. It is a little Discord server, and it's just for us, and we've made a lot of rules so that people can't be nasty to each other. And one of the nice listeners we struggled to tell people how to get to the Discord, and so one of our very nice listeners made a sort of a cool vanity URL. So you can go to dubaifriday.club and that will allegedly that will take you into the Discord.
I checked it; and it works.
And there you go, you can go chat with us in there. We do have a team of volunteer moderators who are very wonderful and hardworking, mm-hmm. and they are giving their free time to make that place nice and positive and free of conflict. And thank you to our moderators who do that. And also, if you cross them, I will destroy you. Your account will be banned, and we will ban you from the podcast. You will not be able to listen. Do not defy the moderators. But I also do worry, between you and I... I do worry that the moderators might go mad with power.
But I'm just trying to speak the truth to women.
I know.
I'm not creepy. You're creepy.
So, you know, a lot of people on the Discord have decided they put their pronouns in their username. And then a very common mistake, people go on the Discord and they go, oh, I should do a bit about the pronouns.
Yeah.
That's a paddling right there. You're getting banned right away. Not funny.
Making fun of my sandals. That's not, a paddling.
Not funny.
Not funny.
Not a good bit. Do you ever worry? Do you think maybe the moderators might become mad with power?
I think here's the problem. You talk to them too much, and you have given them power. Mm-hmm. I think they're just afraid of me because they're like afraid of being sexist or homophobic, and they're just like, "Oh, Alex wants something. We'll do it. Mm-hmm. We'll do it." Maybe I think I'm. I thought we were
going to stop using adjectives. Didn't the Pope ask us to stop using adjectives?
I am so confused.
Alex, I know we got a lot to do here, but
I am so confused. In the after show, yeah, we'll talk about the Pope.
Oh, we're doing after show Pope?
After show Pope.
All right, I had one more resistance Twitter bit.
Yes.
Can I do it?
Please, yes.
So this is a tweet from yesterday. I was very online yesterday, and I found one of the all-time worst tweets.
I see your cursor. God, you click around a lot.
First you don't want me to be in. Oh, why is Max in the dock? There's a dock. Did you know there's a dock? And now it's like, oh, you're clicking.
Could
too
you guys
much.
Talk more quietly? I'm trying to read A Tale of Two Cities.
I found one of the greatest galaxy brain resistance tweets I've ever seen in my life yesterday. So it is from Twitter. Well, I'm not even going to say
no,
it.
No.
But it's from a sort of a resistance account on Twitter. And she goes, this is from yesterday after the Pelosi announces the impeachment procedure. And she goes, mark my words. Mm-hmm. So many babies are going to be born on June 30th, 2020. And Nancy will be a top 10 baby name.
Thank you.
Is the premise of this whole premise of this tweet is that when they announce
the premise is the resistance people have sex, which I think is a stretch.
Uh-huh.
But it's that just announcing that there might be an impeachment, people will get so horny that they have to fucking make children.
I can't finish unless impeachment.
I can't even have normal sex. I have to like raw dog it and impregnate my wife.
Can you talk with more vocal fry?
Dig Dug, there's a challenge that we got to talk about.
Why did you send me this video? Oh, no, this is awful. Oh, no, with your fucked up hand? I hate all of this.
No, I hate it all. It works. So I just plug it into a monitor, and then I play my Apple Arcade games, and it's fine.
Have you played on the Apple TV yet?
No, I have not played on the Apple TV.
I played the Desperation of the Final Kingdom Hearts, whatever the fuck it's called. I was playing that a little bit on my...
Wild Hearts.
Sure. Yeah, I hooked up a controller and everything. It was pretty boss.
Yeah, it's very, very good. I want to recommend... I don't even remember what it's called, but my new...
Fake Zelda? Fake Zelda's good.
I haven't played Fake Zelda yet. I've pretty much been playing the Syracuse game and Cards of Darkness. I said Syracuse and Siri got mad at me. And Skate City
What was the challenge? What was the challenge?
Card hop. Not
guys, we're an hour in. Do you want to do some advice? The challenge this week, which I think was mine, was to buy a phone and set it up. No, the thing this week was to, since we were all getting treats, when you get your new iPhone, set it up all the way from scratch. All you're allowed to enter is your basic bitch stuff, and then like you don't pull over your apps and whatnot.
I do this every time I get a phone, so of course I did it.
I know, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Now, Merlin, did you do it?
Not at all.
Oh, man, Alex, did you do it?
Oh, I got so excited. I started to. And then You started doing a stream.
I have reasons.
Did
you see the new thing? Did you see the new thing that it can do? Holy shit!
I did see the new thing.
Alex,
you could
do. I threw the little foam wind thing, and it got stuck on the panels. It wasn't what I was trying to do, but that did happen. So I'm gonna need you to fix that,
Merlin. I will paint you a word picture for that later.
Okay.
But
that's okay.
So
that's
Max
okay.
did a live stream for setting up your phone. Mm.
Yes.
I guess.
Very busy.
I had to do it, and I thought the Discord would enjoy seeing it, and so I streamed.
Did you get to peel your own plastic off?
Uh huh.
Yeah, I did. I did like an hour of just setting up the apps mm-hmm. and stuff.
Why?
I just thought people would want to see it, and mm-hmm. I don't know, it'll be interesting.
Yep, I started doing it, and then I'm like, seriously, why am I doing it? The tools are so good now.
You guys
now.
Are such...
No, but
you're so
but Max,
no, no,
Max,
no.
You got to see the thing. You got to see the thing.
There's...
What it does now.
There.
I just sent you the link. Max, click the link in the text thing.
You know how... I was about to ask Max, did... Like, I used to always do the encrypted
Me
iTunes
too.
Backup,
Me too.
And iCloud backups have gotten a lot better. And now there is... You can just... directly transfer the data from your old phone to your new phone over a discrete...
You just set them next to each other, and they make their own little ad hoc Wi-Fi network, and they transfer one to the other. And mine, with butt tons of stuff on it, it took less than 3 hours. For most people, it's like an hour, 2 hours.
Mine was a half hour.
Can I give my reason? It's not a reason. I still did not do the challenge. Of my challenge, I did not do it. I did that. But I just want to say why. Because in this instance, one of my reasons for getting this was that my kid's 6S is garbage and it's bad and old and the battery sucks. And rather than spending money to fix that up, and I wanted her to have a cellular watch, so I handed her down my old 10S and my old cellular watch, and I got new ones for me. Now, I have in the past, this is quick, but just for what it's worth, I want to tip my hat to Apple, because this shit has gotten so much better. Here's the thing they don't tell you. Let me just start with one simple fact. What they don't tell you. What those fat cats in Cupertino don't want you to know is it's so easy to unintentionally fucking bork all of your Apple Watch data. Historically. Like, they don't tell you, you know, there is a way to back up your Apple Watch. You know what it is? Historically? Unpairing. Unpairing an Apple mm-hmm. Watch whilst you have the original phone intact and the original watch intact. Until maybe this year, the only way to make sure your data was retained, because it was not going to the cloud. It wasn't. It does now, and this is huge. So it used to be, you'd be like, oh, fuck, I just lost all of that. Because people think, like, you know, it's Apple. All you got to do is, like, put these things together and it'll work great. Well, now, when you do this transfer your data thing, this is not an excuse, but I want to, like, for once, applaud Apple for really nailing it with this. You put the phones next to each other. You do the thing with the little, you shoot the Galaxy with the camera. You enter the passcode on both devices, and then it starts transferring. And then it says, like, hey, do you want to use the Apple Watch that you have paired with this phone on the other phone? I'm like, shit, yeah, I do. Because now that's all on the cloud, and it's on the phone. So anyway, I apologize. I did not do it. I peanut buttered hard. But... kudos to Apple for this transfer your data thing. Jason Snow had a problem with it where I think he hit a button and it had to start over. You can't resume. You have to start all the way back over. But anyway, that's all. I just wanted to applaud Apple. Is that what you did, Alex?
Yeah. And I do periodically go through and just delete a bunch of apps. So I didn't want to, like, fully immerse myself in the sticky peanut butter. So, like, Twitter's gone, all of my, like, Postmates, and, like, all of the things that are theoretically bad for me, I decided to get rid of, just because why not? But I wanted to start playing Apple Arcade games as soon as possible. So I was like,
are you disappointed in this, Max? Because I really thought I was going to do this.
Ugh. Yes, I'm very disappointed in you guys. I think you would have learned a lot from doing the challenge.
I normally do this every year. It was very
painless and easy for me.
You want to know what I did do, though?
What'd you do?
Deleted all my shortcuts. Hit them all. Hit them all. I deleted every goddamn shortcut because they're all showing up in the wonderfully improved share sheet. And I'm like, I don't know how to fucking get rid of these. I just deleted all of them. I'm going to start over.
I did that. I did Shortcuts, Bankruptcy, and so far I've only done a couple of them. We should probably do a Shortcuts episode at some point, because I have, there's stuff I actually want to do now where, like, I actually want a shortcut to, like, put things. So I'm using things as my to-do list right now, and I want to be able to talk to things with the voice.
You're going
to
give Matthew Casinelli a literal boner right now.
Wow. This is really all it takes. Huh?
Anything you...
Because you can have Siri. So here's the situation. I have Apple CarPlay in my car now, and I can push a button on the steering wheel.
Which is hugely, hugely improved.
It's very, very good. And I can push a button on my steering wheel to talk to Siri. And so it's actually... I'm starting to get more into what you can do with Siri over voice. Yeah. And there's some stuff that I want it to go into certain apps versus the default things.
No, I think you're if I understand what you're saying, and tell me if I don't. It seems like your potential interest in Shortcuts previously was mostly academic or intellectual, and now it sounds like you're saying you can see how hooking this to that, especially in the context of voice in your car, you go, aha, there are things that I would like to do, and I would like to do that with my voice.
So, like, a big one is I use this app that James T. Green, as far as I know, kind of popularized this in the Mac nerd world, called Just Press Record. Do you use that, Alex?
That's a great app. Yeah, I learned about that from Serenity, but it's really good.
Serenity got it from James.
Okay.
How dare you? And... anyway, what I would love in the car is to be able to press the button on my steering wheel that activates Siri, and then go and then say some sort of incantation for it to make a voice memo and Just Press Record.
Yep.
Because I have an existing workflow to get my notes to myself from Just Press Record into my life.
There's another very programmable app you might want to try that with called Drafts.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say.
Drafts does that. Drafts is a button on my watch.
You okay?
Wow. Is that a boner? Was that a Matthew boner? What happened?
I don't know.
I know that you like
Bear.
I have it all figured out.
Read a book. Jesus.
Bear is so good.
Oh, look at this. It's like a dark PDF.
Oh,
look at
this.
It does markdown kind of.
Bear does
markdown. It looks like markdown.
Bear's the bee's knees.
No, not so much. It's more like RTF for people who regard themselves as power users.
Oh my God! No. Why are you dunking on Bear?
Wrong.
I'm so tired of people demanding that I love Bear, and it's like it's
I'm not
just
it's your
love
Merlin.
Bear.
I think we've actually found the bottom.
Pick the notes app, like a fucking dork noob, or get serious about Drafts.
Merlin, I think we've...
What's happened?
What are you doing? Ah, it's an H1. It can tell because it says H1.
This is the bottom of the barrel. We've reached the bedrock of Merlin's like bad takes. Like, this is it.
Oh, God, it's another episode of 2008.
Now, you guys have convinced yourself. You convinced yourself it's good. Because it's the soy latte of apps right now, and everybody loves it. That's totally understandable. No, it looks like a good app.
Okay.
It looks good.
Been using both Drafts and
actually,
Bear.
Let me take that back. It looks fine.
From day
it looks
one,
fine.
It looks. God.
Wow. Merlin, let me ask you this: Are you still using Envy?
Let's not get a Christmas tree this year. Let's just buy a Christmas card with a tree on it.
Oh my God!
I hear those sleigh bells ringing.
Are you?